This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Cornelis Prong speaking. Today we come to our last study in the prophecy of Hosea, and we will do so by focusing on chapter 14, verse 8, where the Lord says, through his servant, Ephraim shall say, What have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. These words show that a great change has come over Ephraim, for we read in chapter 4, verse 17, that Ephraim was joined to idols. In fact, he was so attached to them that neither warnings from man nor judgments from God could prevail to separate him from these false gods. That is why God had said, after repeated warnings, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. It's no use trying to persuade him to give up his sins any longer. He is incorrigible. Yet we find the same Ephraim saying here in the last chapter of Hosea, What have I to do any more with idols? How do we explain this sudden change in attitude? Well, the Lord has convinced him of the error of his ways, and he had done so not just by the thunders of his law, but by revealing himself in his love and mercy. It was only when Ephraim, or Israel, was overcome by the Lord's goodness that he was willing to part with his idols. I believe this is still the only way a sinner can be persuaded to give up his sins. Sure, he may be frightened into quitting certain sinful practices, but fear of punishment alone cannot make anyone hate sin. The sin will be given up, but reluctantly. If there were no law forbidding it, and sanctions threatened against it, the sinner would not think of changing his conduct in the least. But when the Lord reveals himself in mercy and love, the sinner will respond as Ephraim does here. For then he sees that he has not only sinned against a holy God, but also against a good and kind God. And this will break the heart of the most hardened sinner and result in true repentance. What have I to do any more with idols? He cries. This is true repentance, friends, when we renounce all sins in general and our besetting sin in particular. The besetting sin of the 10-tribe nation of Israel had been idolatry. Therefore, when Ephraim is brought to repentance by the Lord, he is represented as focusing on that sin especially. Now, in a way, all sin is idolatry, for what is idolatry? It means loving and serving the creature more than the Creator. We do not all worship the same idol. Some of us may give our hearts to riches and the pursuit of material things. Others seek the applause of man. Prestige and honor are very important to them. Still others are devoted to carnal pleasures and worship at the altar of the god or goddess of sex. But what all idols have in common is that they occupy a higher place in our affections than we allow to God, and that is sin. Ephraim had given his heart to the Baals, the gods of the Canaanites and other nations. What is your idol? What is your besetting sin? Whatever it may be, if you are a true penitent, you will be anxious to put those idols to death. You will hate those sins that have held you captive for so long, defiling your conscience and robbing you of peace of mind. You will also be concerned lest these deadly enemies of your soul will come back to destroy you. They will try it, and often succeed to a degree, because although sin no longer reigns in the heart of a Christian, it will seek to take back the throne at every opportunity. According to Romans 6, Christians have died to sin, but that does not mean that sin is dead to them. There is still that old nature with its depraved tendencies. Oh, how God's child sometimes grieves when, in spite of all his efforts, he cannot get rid of the enemy within. It is his constant prayer that the Lord may cleanse and purify his soul with his sanctifying power. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, he cries, and renew a right spirit within me. Is this also how you look at sin? Does Ephraim speak for you when he says, away with all idols? Are you determined to fight against all your sins, but especially that one sin that so easily besets you? I believe that every Christian needs to pray like William Cowper, the dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. If that is your prayer right now, the comfort of Hosea 14 verse 8 is yours too. And what a comfort it is. For after Ephraim says, what have I to do any more with idols? The Lord also says something. And this is what he says. I have heard him, that is Ephraim, and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Here we have the Lord taking notice of the disposition of a true penitent. We may be sure that if there is even the weakest desire for good in our hearts, the Lord is aware of it. By nature, there is no good in any of us. Scripture makes that very clear. Therefore, if there is some good thing found in us, like a willingness to confess our sins and a prayer for forgiveness, it is the Lord Himself who puts such good thoughts and desires in us. Through His Holy Spirit, He plants the seed of regeneration in us, and that seed manifests itself in the fruits of repentance and faith. The first evidence of the new life is that we begin to see ourselves as lost sinners, and that we pray the Lord for mercy. And of course, the Lord is aware of this. I have heard Ephraim, he says, and I have observed him. This is intended for the comfort of sinners, who, like Ephraim, are troubled by their sins and long to be delivered from them. Such people are often afraid that the Lord is not paying any attention to them. They weep in secret and go through much soul sorrow alone. They desire to break with sin and live for the Lord, but they are afraid of themselves, knowing their sinful hearts. The desire is there, and even the determination, but how to turn that desire and resolve into action, they do not know. That is why they pour out their hearts before the Lord. Now, to encourage such mourners in Zion, the Lord says, I have heard you and observed you. I have had my eye upon you, even though you did not know it. I have listened carefully to your every word. There wasn't a sigh, or it entered my ears, not a groan, or it pierced my heart, not a tear, or I put it in my bottle. You may think that no one is aware of your struggles, hopes, and aspirations, but be assured that I know all about them. I tell you what I will do for you. I will take you under my protection and see to it that you will continue to walk in my ways. This is the meaning of the next words. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Here the Lord promises, first of all, protection. The fir tree provides a very thick shade which cannot be penetrated either by sun or rain, so that it affords a safe retreat both from the heat of the sun and from the violence of an impending storm. This is an illustration of what the Lord and who the Lord is for an awakened sinner who realizes that he deserves God's wrath and fears his judgment. Let him come to me, the Lord says here, and I will be a green fir tree to him. I will shelter him from the curse of my law. Oh, how great is God's love for all who long to be saved from sin and who desire to be delivered from their idols so that they may serve the Lord their God. But the Lord does not only promise protection to the repentant sinner. He also offers him the grace of fruitfulness. Of me is thy fruit found, he says to Ephraim. This is also very important. You see, a penitent sinner may have a sincere desire to part with all his idols, but how is he going to do this? He knows he lacks the necessary strength for this. Formerly he relied on himself and his own resources, but now his eyes have been opened for his total inability. With the Apostle Paul he laments, the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. To remove his fears in this connection, the Lord offers to help him do what is good and what is right. Don't be afraid, sinner, the Lord says in effect. I will undertake the work myself. My grace shall be sufficient for you. I will supply you with strength according to your needs. Of me shall your fruit be found. That is to say, I will make you fruitful. My Spirit will cause you to produce all kinds of fruits that will glorify me. We see here that the Lord does everything for his people. He assures them not only that he will deliver them from all their sins, but also that he will cause them to walk in his ways. As he said through Ezekiel, "From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will cause you to keep my statutes and judgments to do them." Such divine assurances should encourage all who know the plague of their hearts, and who therefore have no confidence in the flesh. Here is the remedy for all your problems. Do you need protection from the wrath of God against sin? Christ is your refuge. Did he not say to Jerusalem that he desired to gather them as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings? The sad thing was, however, that they did not want to be gathered by him. "You would not," Jesus said, and he wept over their stubborn unbelief. But this implies, does it not, that all who do seek his protection will receive it. Jesus will be for them like a green fir tree, and they shall sit under his shadow with great delight. But Christ is also compared in Scripture to a vine, from which believers receive all their energy and nourishment continually. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, the Savior said, except you abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me, you shall bring forth much fruit. Indeed, from me is your fruit found. Friends, this is the Savior we need, a Savior who is our justification and our sanctification, yes, our complete redemption. Let us go forward in his strength, seeking to die unto sin and the world, for he deserves our total consecration. Christ gave himself for us, the Apostle Paul says, to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself a peculiar or a special people, zealous of good works. Therefore, if you hope to dwell under the shadow of the green fir tree in heaven, see that the fruits of righteousness be found on the tree of your life here on earth. God is willing to produce those fruits in you. Look to him then, and to him alone, and he will be as the dew unto you. He will heal your backslidings and love you freely. Hosea ends his prophecy with these words: "Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein." Amen.